What's up there, good peoples? Cameron Norfleet, Century 21 All Points Realty. I want to thank you for stopping back by the Cameron Norfleet podcast. This is going to be a great episode. We're talking about insurance. I know that doesn't sound very exciting, but we're talking about insurance, and that is something that everybody needs. I hope that you guys are all out there staying corona-free. You know, to be honest with you, I'm a little tired of hearing about corona. Corona's getting on my nerves. Corona needs a job. Leave everybody else's job alone. But on that note, you never know what life is going to throw at you. Now, this is not a podcast episode about coronavirus. That was actually last week. It was a great episode. If you didn't tune into that one, you definitely want to. That was episode 17. But again, today we're talking about insurance. Insurance policies for landlords. Insurance is something that a lot of people don't think about until it's too late. Please, please, please don't put yourself in that position. We all need it, especially as landlords. You don't know who's in your properties. You don't know what their intentions are. And you definitely want to be protected in the event that someone gets hurt or a tree falls through the property or a flood comes and ruins and wrecks everything and so on and so forth. You want to be protected. So that's what we're talking about on today. I actually learned a lot in this episode. I do own property, but I'll be totally honest with you. Insurance is really not something that I've given a whole lot of thought to as far as what is in the insurance policy and what exactly I am protected from. So I learned a ton in this podcast episode. There's actually a point in the podcast, and I'm sure you'll listen for this, whereas my guest actually showed me that something that I've been telling people was wrong, was bad information. And I need to call a few people, tell them I was wrong. My bad. But that's one of the benefits to being a podcast host. You get to have people on and learn right along with your audience. So my guest today is Ashley Green. Ashley Green is a insurance agent. She does policies for people all around the country. And she doesn't just do landlord policies. She pretty much does all insurance, auto, home, pretty much everything under the sun. And that's in all 50 states. So you will hear Ashley's contact information after the podcast episode. Make sure that you reach out to her for all of your insurance needs. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. All right, so Ashley Green, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I definitely thank you for joining the podcast and the YouTube channel today. We're going to talk about some insurance. Landlords,
yay,
definitely.
I love it.
Yeah, I know you do. Landlords need insurance, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about different things that I think that landlords should talk about with their insurance agent, just to make sure that they're covered for, rather be under the same policy or different policies that they might want to ask about. I've got some questions that I have for you. If you have anything, any other policies that maybe I haven't thought of that you think landlords should consider, then by all means, please let us all know. All right. So first and foremost, we're going to talk about renter's insurance. What are your thoughts on renter's insurance? Is it something that landlords should have? Is it something that, you know, it's kind of optional if you can afford it or if the tenants could afford it or what have you? What are your thoughts on renter's insurance?
I often find that people think that renter's insurance is something that's on the onus of the property owner or the landlord. Mm-hmm. And it's totally at the discretion and, you know, the purchase of the tenant. So the renter's insurance is designed to cover the tenant's personal property. So whether it be their clothing, their furniture, appliances, what have you. And then it also provides liability if they have any guests on the premises and they're hurt and, you know, there's a lawsuit. So for about $200 a year, a tenant can take out a renter's policy. I always, always recommend that as a landlord, you either build it into your lease or recommend that they purchase it just to take some of the liability off of you.
Right.
And then also give them some coverage because right. your standard landlord policy will not cover them for those things.
Right. So now if a tenant was to slip and fall on the, say in the common area, is that covered by renter's insurance or is that covered by the landlord's policy?
That would be covered by the landlord's policy. Anytime you purchase a policy and you're the owner of the policy, coverage does not extend to you for your injuries. It's always for a third party.
Okay, gotcha.
Makes sense?
Yeah. So okay. So the renter's insurance policy is covering the tenant actually in their unit, or is it covering the tenant, just covering the tenant's things?
It's covering the tenant's belongings.
Gotcha.
And it also provides liability for the tenant if they have guests in their individual unit and they get hurt.
Okay.
Got it.
So you're saying that, okay, so it covers the tenant for their guests. So is that kind of like if a tenant's guest was to come slip and fall in their unit, and that it covers them against the liability for that?
Yes, it will cover them against the liability for that. And that's not to say that they couldn't take it a step further and sue the actual property owner, but that way you can kind of safeguard and protect your assets by having.
Okay, the internet kind of broke up a little bit. You were saying to safeguard them against what?
So by having your tenants be insured by renter's insurance, the liability would first, if a lawsuit arises, the liability would first be consumed through the renter's policy, and then your actual landlord policy would kick in if they wanted to take it a step further and sue you as the property owner, which they could absolutely do.
Gotcha. All right. So okay. So now how about let's say there was a tenant on the second floor, and there was a leak coming from the first floor, and that damaged. There was a leak on the third floor, and that damaged some of the second floor tenants' things. Does renter's insurance cover that?
So this is tricky. Resulting water damage is usually covered by your renter's policy. Gotcha. Now, the source of the water, be it a leaky pipe or, you know, if somebody just left the water running, is typically, you know, never covered. So you always have to, you know, make sure you have enough money saved up to repair that pipe or what have you. But as far as the personal property, that's usually covered.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. And in water, it has to be sudden in nature. So if there's like a slow leak, you can expect that to be excluded, actually. And they can usually tell how long water's been sitting in a certain area. So
gotcha.
Sudden in nature, always keep that in mind.
Okay. Yeah. It's good to know. How about let's say if I have a single family property, and a tree falls on the property and damages the tenant's belongings, is that covered?
It's the renter's insurance would cover the tenant's belonging in any situation.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Good.
So anytime I come across an investor, I explain to them, I give a little breakdown of the landlord's policy. So it's going to give you protection for the home itself, so any physical damage to the home, and then it's also going to afford you liability again for slip and falls if they find you negligent of the property, so on and so forth. You can have limited contents coverage. Mm-hmm. You'll see that it's pretty nominal to start. They'll give you $2,000, maybe $5,000 in some cases for anything that you provide to the tenant. So, you know, sometimes you'll move in and there's a washer and a dryer or a refrigerator. And these days in New Jersey, your apartments don't even have to come with refrigerators, believe it or not. So these are things that you want to account for when you're putting together. Yeah, it's so crazy. These are things you want to account for when you're putting together your landlord's insurance. So then as your tenant comes in, you know, you want to make sure once it's furnished that they take snapshots of their unit. Because in the event of a claim, this is how an adjuster is going to say, okay, well, you had this type of couch, this type of TV, because, you know, who's keeping receipts for everything? You know what I mean? So that's the best way to kind of get reimbursed for that.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, so it's definitely advised to have landlords to make sure that their tenants have renter's insurance.
I think one of the most important coverages with a renter's policy is loss of use. So if there's a covered loss, which there's an entire list, I'm not going to get into it all, but if there's a covered loss and the apartment or home is deemed uninhabitable, the insurance company will pay for housing and for the cost of your groceries while the damage is being, you know, repaired. So this is what's going to protect the tenant in the event that loss occurs.
Right.
The landlord's policy is going to give them what's called loss of rents. So the income that they would have gotten during that time, it's like, you know, what happens? They're reliant sometimes on getting that rent each month. So the loss of rents on their side is what's going to provide that loss of income.
Gotcha. It's good to know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's great, because we actually had a situation here in New Haven recently, whereas they had to shut down, I believe it was like a 44-unit complex because there were structural issues.
When you say structural issues, I mean, was it what caused it? Was it weather related, or because that actually sounds like it's not covered?
Yeah. Honestly, it might not be covered because I just saw on the news. I don't know a whole lot about it, but from what I saw, it looks like it was just negligence. You know, just the landlord not keeping up with the property. So it might not be covered. You know, I don't know.
So that definitely warrants a lawsuit. Yeah. But putting somebody up in additional housing, I don't think that that's covered.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
And people need to understand that insurance agents, we're not claims adjusters.
Right.
So it's not on us to know the contract in and out. But when you're seasoned, you've seen claims and stuff over the years, it's our responsibility to know what your coverage is and how it's going to come into play. But when it comes to, you know, definitive denials and this and that, that's all on the claims adjusters.
Cool.
For sure.
Good information. How about some other insurance policies? Property protection. I think we kind of touched on property protection, right? You have anything else that you could add on that type of coverage?
It's pretty much just your standard policy. It's always going to come with your key four or five items. So that's coverage for the structure itself. Also coverage for anything detached on the premise. So if there's a detached garage or shed, a fence, swimming pools, those are all fall under what's called your coverage B.
Okay.
And the next coverage is personal property, which, you know, under the scope of the landlord's form, it's pretty limited because the landlord's not living there in most cases. So it's only going to be your basic appliances that need to be covered. Then you have your liability and then also guest medical protection. People sometimes confuse liability with the medical protection. So I like to break that down a little bit.
Okay.
So if somebody is, let's say, hurt, they slip and fall and they don't want to say, Cameron, I like you. I'm not going to sue you. I know that this was just a mistake. You're not like a negligent person, but I need help with my medical bills. Is there anything that you can do for me? You can actually pick up the phone and call your agent and get that guest medical protection to cover their medical bills. And I'm so shocked to see over the years that they don't even offer higher limits. You'll see it range anywhere from $1,000 up to $10,000. And we know one emergency room trip can be $15,000. You know what I mean? Especially somebody that doesn't have health coverage. So I'm just hoping the industry kind of catches up with that a little bit and bumps that up. But typically I like to give at least, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 for medical bills. And in liability, you know, that's really going to depend on what your income is, you know, how many assets you have under that entity or LLC name. But I think $500,000 is always like a baseline and where I like to start. I don't like to go anything below that,
right?
Because this liability is going to kick in on a per occurrence basis, and it's not worth having any of your assets touched if somebody sues you. So
right. And you made some good points. I've heard what I consider as good advice. I'd like to know your thoughts on it as far as you know, a lot of times people ask, should I put my property in an LLC? Okay. Now My answer is that it really depends. Like, I don't think that it's always a good idea to have your property in LLC because there's, you know, tax reasons. There's a whole bunch of reasons why either you would or you wouldn't. But I kind of...
Well, an LLC versus what? Your personal name?
Your personal name, right. And so my thought process is, again, sometimes it is best to have it in an LLC. However, as long as you have good enough insurance, it really doesn't matter. What are your thoughts on that?
I totally disagree.
Okay. Okay.
Absolutely. You want to keep your business and your personal assets totally separate, because when you have any, even if you're just a regular homeowner in a single family house that you live in, you're just opening yourself up to exposure just because you have a property. You know what I mean? So now when you have another property that you don't live in, you're not babysitting 24/7. You don't know who's going to be there. You don't know what people's motives are. And we live in a very litigious environment. So you can be sued many, many, many times. There's no cap on how many times somebody can sue you.
Right.
Do you really want your income to be affected by that? You can have wages garnished if you don't have enough insurance. So if you keep it in the LLC, they can't even touch you personally. They can't touch anything under your name.
Well,
so I would say kind of.
Right. As long as you have the LLC properly set up and that you're not, you know, commingling funds and all that good stuff.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, I mean, the LLC absolutely gives you protections that I think that landlords definitely want. And you make a good point as far as the fact that you can be sued several times, and there are caps on on the amount that the insurance company is going to pay. Correct.
You breach that threshold, they can come after your personal assets. And you know, since we're on the topic of liability, umbrellas. If you have any type of property, I don't care if you have one, if you have 10, you want to get what's called a personal liability umbrella. So it's a separate standalone policy that you're going to pay an additional premium for. And that's basically just going to provide excess liability to cover your underlying insurance.
Gotcha.
And it can cover multiple properties. So you only have to take out one to cover, you know, up to 10, or every company's different.
Right. Right. Yeah. Nice. Good information. Flood insurance. What are your thoughts on flood insurance? Is that something that everybody needs? Should you just kind of assess to see if you are in a flood zone? What are your thoughts on that?
So I'm always going to recommend getting flood insurance, even if you're not in a high rated flood zone. And the reason is because people always think flood, they think ocean, or, you know, they tend to think weather related. But I actually just posted about this not too long ago. If there's some type of water main break on your street and you're on an unfortunate slope, and water comes rushing down, that's actually considered flood. So I tell people, if you're trying to grasp the concept of what truly constitutes a flood, think of external forces, things that didn't, you know, stem from your home itself.
Right.
So you don't have to be near a body of water for anything accidental to happen. And that loss is catastrophic. I mean, tens and thousands of dollars. You don't want to be inconvenienced or have to, you know, if you could just pay a policy to cover that.
Right.
And the good thing is, if you are not in a high rated flood zone, you're going to be what's considered a preferred risk. And those policies are about $500 for an entire year. So to me, that's pretty nominal, considering the damage that the floods can cause. And you would know if you need flood insurance. I think usually the mortgage company would they dictate that for the most part. If you actually need it.
I had a client probably about a year ago, not this winter, but last winter. I went to show the property one time to a prospective buyer, and I got to the door, about to open up the door, and I heard a downpour of water. So I opened up the door, and it was a ugly sight. There was water everywhere. It was a vacant house, and the owners lived out of state somewhere. The owners lived out of state, and the place was sitting vacant. It was winter time. The pipe bursted. It was ugly. Yep. Would that be covered under flood insurance or another type of insurance policy?
It's breaking up. Okay. It's a little bit of a gray area. That's, like I said, more of a question I want to ask for a claims handler. But to me, it sounds like that's going to be a homeowner's policy issue, because that's resulting water damage from a pipe located. You're going to leave your properties vacant. Run the water. You know what I mean? Run the water for a couple minutes. That'll save you thousands of dollars. Right. Yeah. I've seen freezing pipes, I mean, so many times.
Right. Definitely. All right. So acts of nature. Acts of nature, that's pretty much covered under anyone's insurance policy, correct? Or is that not right?
Yeah, so causes of loss, there's typically like 12 or 13 main causes of loss. And your main acts of nature are wind and hail, lightning. What else do you have? I'm trying to think what else. So you have outlying weather events like tornadoes and earthquakes that are actually excluded unless you purchase additional coverage for it.
Right.
So you'll see that as you bounce around the country, the homeowners insurance policy are kind of tailored to the weather events that happen there. Like, you'll find sinkhole coverage often in areas like Florida that you may not typically find in New Jersey. So those things will differ a little bit, but your main causes of nature, you can expect your house to be covered for. Theft is another big one. What else is typically covered? Vandalism, or they call it mischief. So I actually had a call a week ago from one of my clients. He's down in Virginia, and he has several rental properties, and he was having an issue with one guy. And he calls me panicking. He's like, "Ashley, my client poured I guess like liquid concrete or whatever down his drain."
Oh my goodness.
Do So I'm just taking a look at his policy. Oh. And thank God, you know, he was covered for what they call, I guess it's malicious mischief. And it will be covered even if it's by your tenant. Because typically you think of these things if it's a third party, somebody that's not you or your tenant, but they actually cover things like that. So that's another peril.
Okay. Let me ask you this. With these policies, making a claim, does the amount that you premium? Pay end up going? Yeah, your premium. That was, it kind of slipped me. does your premium go up often? Like, or does it boost up? Does it like skyrocket with one claim? Like, how does that work?
Okay, so from your insurance carrier's perspective, they only want you filing claims when the loss is pretty catastrophic or large in a dollar amount, you know, against your deductible, right. And only once every 10 years, believe it or not. Wow. So I'm actually once every 10 years. I'm actually helping somebody now who had two claims in 3 years, which is literally like worst case scenario. That's like having six DUIs in the auto world. Right. So thankfully I have an ocean of resources and I was actually able to cover her. But so once every 10 years is what they look at. Now, depending on how long you've been with your company, they usually offer a claims-free discount, but that takes a while to accrue, usually like in the 8-9 year mark. So if you submit a claim and it's covered, they'll forgive that one without any premium increases. But after that, they are hefty, 20-30%. Jeez. And if your claims are not weather related, that increase could be even greater. So they tend to be a little bit more lenient with weather events because it's out of your control, so to speak. So
right. Yeah. That's good to know. Once in every 10 years, okay?
Yes.
Good to know.
Yeah, because I totally understand the line of thinking. You're paying this insurance, you know, you think that it's going to be something that you can use at your leisure, but it's not.
right. Wow.
It's definitely not.
Wow. Okay, good. Definitely some good information. Now, as far as the amounts that the insurance is going to cover, there's a difference between cash value and replacement value. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So replacement cost is essentially the amount of coverage that your insurance provider is going to, you know, give you in the event that your house is a total loss. So that means they're going to build it up, like kind and quality materials, completely brand new, everything. That's what you should always select in any case. Now, actual cash value is sometimes offered, and what that is a replacement cost minus depreciation. The only time I think this would be a good option is if you're an investor and you're doing a fix and flip.
Right.
So you can, you know, contact your agent and get actual cash value on the existing structure. But what they'll do is provide replacement costs for all of your new building materials. So then the minute that renovation is done, you then get a new policy for 100% replacement cost after everything is repaired and updated. You know, that's literally, in my opinion, the only time it makes sense to do actual cash value.
Right. So let me ask you this. Let's say I'm flipping some properties or I'm flipping a property, whatever, and something happens at that property, whether it's a flood or vandalism or whatever. It's something that the policy covers. I also have a homeowner's insurance policy. I have a claim on my investment property. Is that going to affect anything? Is it just because it's me and I had a claim? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm explaining.
It goes by name.
Okay. So again,
if you have it goes by now. And this is a little tricky also. So to simplify it, if you have a fix and flip, you're going to get like a builder's risk or course of construction policy.
Right.
Now, depending on the carrier, they may want the actual individual's name to run a loss history. In most cases, they don't. But in the event that they do, they're going to tie any claims that happen from that property to your personal name. But if you have an entity, I want to say 9 times out of 10, they're going to exclude you or your personal information to any loss history.
So I guess that would be another reason. That does make sense. So I guess that would be another reason to have an LLC.
Absolutely.
Right. So, okay. I'm feeling your point. Definitely feeling your point.
yeah, because it's almost like a whole separate behind the scenes credit rating that no one really talks about.
Right.
You have your regular, you know, FICO score it comes to your homeowners, there's this whole other system in place working behind the scenes that literally affects you the same way. So that's another way to safeguard it. Keep your assets and everything completely separate.
Right. So bottom line, something happens at one of my properties, but I have that covered. I have that property in an LLC, and I have a claim, or that LLC has a claim. That's not going to affect me personally with my personal property.
It depends on how the carrier has it set up. It can or cannot. It really depends on the company.
Okay.
So it's hard to say unless, you know, we're starting the whole process, and it depends on what information they're actually asking for. But typically, if you have an entity name, your personal, you know, effects will not be affected by that.
Okay. So bottom line, make sure that you get clarification with your insurance agent.
Yes.
When signing documents. Sure. Definitely.
For sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, listen, I definitely appreciate it. I learned a ton. Okay. I'm definitely going to reconsider my position.
How you have everything structured.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely learned a lot. I hope that anybody and everybody listening learned a lot. So you definitely know your stuff. How can someone go about finding you, and what services do you offer, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram to kind of just stay up to date with, you know, coverage items, or to ask me general policy questions at The Insurance It Girl. That's my Instagram handle. And if you need to set up a consultation and you're in the market for a policy review, you can reach me via email, which is my name, Ashley_Green, just like the color, at ajg.com. Right now I offer all of your personal lines products, home, auto, umbrella, personal articles, fine arts. Whether you're a mid-market client or you're in the high net worth space, I can do it all in all 50 states.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. Well, listen, I definitely appreciate you taking the time. I know you have another appointment coming.
Of course.
Yeah. So, listen, for everybody else out there, thank you for your time, and make it a great day.